I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. What a wonderful fact that God in mercy sent his Son to a world by sin undone. And I'm going to read one verse here that'll be sort of the center of what I want to say. And in verse 20, I begin, a couple of verses I read. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and Andrew again telleth, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And I'll read the next verse. And Jesus answered, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. What a wonderful desire. We would see Jesus. I wonder if there's someone here that has that desire in their heart, not sure whether you're going to see him, whether you can really, really trust your eternal soul salvation to this one, in this world, in this scene where everything is so hopeless and helpless. They had this desire. They knew where to go, to one of the disciples. I wonder if somebody ever come to you and ask you a question, say, tell us something about Jesus. Tell us, I'd like to know something. Where would you start? What would you say? Well, they knew what to do. They brought him to Jesus, told him. They told him, we would see Jesus. And I want to just build on this a little bit. As I said, it's a wonderful, wonderful desire to see wanting to see Jesus. And it's even more wonderful if you've come to see him. And if you've experienced, you realize in coming to him, you can receive peace, forgiveness of sins. You get that load away from your chest. That load, that conscience that speaks to you and say, you're not at ease. You're afraid. Someday you're going to die and what'll happen? All those things come to us. And it's the Spirit of God that brings this to our attention. And here, they would like to see Jesus. And wonderful, the Lord Jesus was here at this feast. And it was a great feast day. This story begins with a supper at Bethany, 6 days before the Passover. And he had been there. And also, Lazarus was there, who was raised from the dead. And many came to the feast in curiosity, just to see what's happening here. People are talking about a man that was dead in the grave for 3 days, and he's raised from the dead, and he's living. We've got to go and explore, investigate. We've got to see what this is, probably a rumor. Somebody's invented this, but we're going to find out for ourselves. And so many came to that feast on that day to find out the reality. See a man that had been in the grave 3 days. I'd be excited if that had happened today. Someone actually been in the grave for 3 days and they said his body stinks already decaying. And he was all bound in grave clothes. And the Lord knew what he was going to do. You know, all the people were crying and weeping when their brother Lazarus was dead. And here the people come, Mary comes, Martha, they all come over there, and they want to go to the grave and weep. The Jews were there weeping. And you know the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, you know, he created the universe. He upholds it all. You know, when he went there to the grave, he knew what he was going to do. He was going to raise him from the dead. But you know, before that, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Just think of this. He could speak a word and bring a world into being. Oppose everything by his power. And yet here now, he takes that lowly place. Oh, he's one that has sympathy. He has sympathy with us in our need. Even though he knows, he allows us to go through trials and sympathies. But he is right alongside there. Right there to be with us. to cry with us, as it were. And it's a wonderful thing, not only to experience, to know him as the Savior of sinners, and to me that I was one of those sinners that he saved. And now to think that he also is a comfort, goes right alongside in the circumstances that we pass through, and is there, weeps with you. Weeps with you. But he knows what he's going to do. The day is coming where he raised him again from the dead. Well, he comes here, the Lord Jesus, in the story before this. He comes and he's presented to them as the Son of David. The Son of David. Now, that's important in this context here. The Lord, the Son of God incarnate, his words had been rejected, chapter 8. His words were rejected, chapter 9. In chapter 10, he calls out, he says, therefore the Father loves me, because I lay down my life for the sheep. For I lay down my life that I may take it again. He says, this commandment I have of my Father. He laid down his life because there were the other sheeps, the sheep, other than the Jews of the nation. There were other sheep, Gentiles. Not too many Jews here, some probably are, but Gentiles. He called them and he wanted them to be one flock and one shepherd to draw them out. But when he comes here as a son of David, son of David was only for the nation of Israel. They were waiting for him. In Matthew 15, you have the story of the Syrophoenician woman. She came there. She came to the Lord and cried, oh, I have a daughter that's sick. Please come and help me. And she said, oh, son of David, come and help me. He didn't answer a word. You wonder why. And then the disciples urged him. And he said, well, it's not meat that we would throw, you know, not good to throw the children's food, to give that food to the dogs. Oh, he takes the place of a dog. And she says, yes, but the children drop crumbs on the floor and the dogs lick up the crumbs. Isn't that wonderful? She had such faith, trusting that the crumbs that would fall on the floor would be for her, the Gentile.